Amen. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. We thank you that we're loved by you. God, we thank you for that. Pray this morning you just open up the word to us and just make it clear how you're revealing yourself to us. Make it clear of how you look at us, who we are before you. So, Lord, we just give this time to you. I pray you just anoint me with your Spirit to just speak words of the Spirit. And, God, I pray each heart to be opened by the Spirit to hear what you have to say. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now, the title of the message is Amazing Life. And we've been looking in the book of Luke, and we've been looking at Jesus's life and the revelation of Jesus, if you will, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So we see at this point in chapter 5, Jesus has made an impact, all right? He has made an impact that people are recognizing that there's something different about him. They are not grasping the full message of who he is, but they see that God's moved in a different way and a mighty way, and some are starting to see that he's fulfilling scripture. Some are trying to see, well, is he the Messiah? But they see power from him as God reveals himself through Christ and shows Christ the Son as being the Son of God. And so in this section of scripture, which I just think is fascinating, is Luke chapter 5 verse 17 through 26. I thought what I'd do is just read through the whole section so we just have the whole context of it, all right? So that's always the best thing in the scriptures, just to see what it says. So I'm going to read through Luke chapter 5, 17 through 26, and then we'll talk about it and see how it applies to us, okay? But this is fascinating. But put yourself in the picture here. Jesus is making himself known, and people are starting to figure it out, but he's also, there's a lot of questions going around. So verse 17, on one of those days, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. It's always to remember, Pharisees and teachers of the law, they are, quote, the religious people, okay? They are the ones that are kind of running the religious show. So here is Jesus teaching, and these Pharisees and the teachers of the law are sitting there, who had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. So they're coming from all over the place. I mean, he's made himself known. They're coming from every corner of Israel saying, who is this guy? And it says this, so they came from the village of Galilee, Judea, and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. It's just interesting. I'm not going to say much about that, but it shows up right here. And so they're coming around, and Jesus is there. But you know what else is there? The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. So they're observing this. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst of Jesus. I mean, just picture this. You know, they just go up in the house, tear the tiles off, and just drop this guy in front of Jesus. Now, that shows a little bit of intensity and to get this man before Jesus and want to see God to work in his life. So they let him down before Jesus. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, the religious leaders began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." You know, I just like, wow, what is going on here? Now, the way I want to look at this, so we read through this, and so it's stunning, and we see that God is making a clear, that Jesus is making clear impact in his realm and the people around him, and is passed on for us today. And so that should be powerful for any of us as we talk on the Lord Jesus Christ and his testimony as we read this. But I want to do something a little different with it. I mean, we see this truth, and there's no denying this truth, and this is the foundation on which we stand. But what I'd like to do is look at this as believers with what the Scripture has told us. As believers, we have God in us. As believers, we have Christ in us. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay, we have the Trinity in us. The Scripture talks in different places. The dwelling of God, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. Well, it's kind of interchangeable, you know, because it's their God. It's the Trinity, God in us. So he says this. So I want us to look at us with God in us and ask the question, how should we be behaving? How should we be behaving? Because Christ in perfection is God clothed in the human body. Amen? In perfection. He came, he is God. From heaven, he came, he clothed in a human body. And so he functions in a human body, but it's God in him. And so we see God working through him powerfully. Amen? What about us? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. And what happens? The Holy Spirit enters in us. Amen? So in a sense, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and it's clothed with our body. Amen? So what you see, now we're still in our body. Okay, we're kind of doing our own thing. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have God in us. That he is moving through us. He's teaching us. He's transforming us all through our life. He is our teacher. And so what I want to look at from God's point of view, how should we be behaving with Christ in us? We should be doing things different. We should be doing hearing from God and doing things God directs us to do. So we should have, because of this fact of God in us, an amazing life. Amen? What is the connection between all believers? God in us. See, all believers should have an amazing life and a connection because of God in us, as brothers and sisters. Amen? So let's look at it from that point of view and be pressed to see how we should live out this amazing life that God has called us to. So let's look here at Luke 5:20. I have an overhead here. But with this amazing life, we have an amazing message. Amen? An amazing life because there's an amazing message. Jesus forgives our sins. And we see this right early on in Luke. Now, they didn't grasp the whole thing here. This is before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. So they're hearing this, and Jesus is putting this on them pretty clearly. And he says in Luke 5:20, and when he saw their faith, now these people who dropped this paralytic down from the roof, you know, they wanted to come before him. He saw their faith. They heard things about Jesus, and they believed what they heard about Jesus. So he saw their faith. They heard something. They were acting out on it. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Wow. I mean, if I was there, I'm thinking, you just tore a hole in my roof. You know, what do you do? But Jesus, no. No. Your sins are forgiven. So you have all these religious leaders around, and they're going, what? He just said in front of everybody, your sins are, when he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. We have an amazing message. Our sins are forgiven. What separates from us from God? Go ahead. Sins, okay? And what did Jesus do? Your sins are forgiven, therefore nothing separates us from God. See, so all of a sudden it's like, what's going on here? So we have an amazing message. Jesus says our sins are forgiven. By the way, we should never forget what our message is. It's our sins are forgiven. All right. See, the Pharisees and other religious teachers, they lost sight of God's intention. Okay, they covered people in rules and regulations, and they forgot that God is reaching out to redeem mankind. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now, with this amazing life, first of all, we all agree we have an amazing message. Amen? Okay. With this amazing message, with this amazing life, we have a supernatural power to deliver this message. Okay? Now, why would I say that? Who lives in us? Who's supernatural? Where is he? In us. All right? So all of a sudden, our position in this world is different. All right? And so there's a supernatural power within us because it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit within us. So with this amazing life, we have a supernatural power to deliver this amazing message. Okay? God wants this message to go out, and he has left it with us. It's all through Scripture. He left it with us, and he has, and we thought, okay, we got the message. I hate to share it. This guy's not going to like me. This will be mean. Everybody's saying don't say anything, and I don't know what. That's if we just think of the message. But it's more than just a message. We have the power, supernatural power, to deliver the message. So when we walk in, we're bringing the power of Christ with us. We don't just have the word, we have the power of Christ in us. There's a power working within us to deliver that message. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? Well, just look at this verse, the next one. So Jesus says, your faith has healed. It says, when he saw their faith, he says, man, your sins are forgiven. So all the people around him, they're going, wait a minute. I don't get this. So they're thinking it. They don't say anything. You're not going to say anything to Jesus, are you? You're not going to say it. No. You're just going, You're thinking it. Look what happened. Luke 5:22. When Jesus heard them talking, no. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? I always thought, you ever think about this something, you walk along, you're thinking something. I said, man, I'm glad nobody knows what I'm thinking. You know? You walk up Jesus, and you're going, oh, shoot, he knows exactly what I'm thinking. You know? I mean, that's a little unnerving, okay? It's like, he knows what we're thinking. See, and we see here when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them. Why do you question in their heart? So he answered the question they were thinking about answering. I think that would just scared the bejeebies out of them right there. It's like, uh-oh, how'd he know that? So anyway, but I want to look at this. Jesus perceived their thoughts. Why? Because he was, go ahead, say it, God. Now, so he perceived their thoughts because he was God. See, with this amazing life, through the Holy Spirit, God will show us what needs to be done. God within us, in situations, in this amazing life, to share God's word through the Holy Spirit, he will show us what needs to be done. We will perceive. By the Holy Spirit. It's not just a good idea and, hey, what's happened to man? No, you're going to perceive from the Holy Spirit what needs to be done to share this amazing message. You follow where I'm going? Okay? Now, so we clearly see that Jesus perceived what they were thinking. And that's important. He perceived what they were thinking. Now, Mark, the book of Mark, covers this same situation about what Jesus has said, but Mark kind of elaborates on it. And I think Mark's elaboration is very interesting. So if we look at Mark chapter 2, verse 8, we have an overhead here. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. Same situation. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus question within themselves, they're not telling anybody. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your heart? See, he saw their heart. He recognized, he perceived the whole situation. And he did it through his spirit. Now, when we accept Christ, what did we receive? Spirit. We can perceive through that spirit. We can perceive because God, through the Spirit, will bring things to mind and show us things in sharing his word. That's part about being a Christian. All right? How many times you're dealing with someone and you're going through, and you know, they're just kind of, you think they're a little shady. I mean, you ever been in that situation and just something in your spirit will say there's something wrong? You ever done that? See, that's a kind of a human thing. That's a human, and we all have that, and some more than others. All right? But the Holy Spirit, so that's an exercise of that. You see how it works. But with the Holy Spirit communicates to us from the Holy Spirit, and we have a thought from God that gives us insight of where someone is so you can speak to them and share the message through the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. You see where I'm coming from? Jesus is Jesus, and we're not Jesus. He is God, and he perceived. But us, we as men and women, have Christ in us, and therefore through the Holy Spirit, we can perceive through the Holy Spirit. Amen? It just goes to understand. That's how God works through his people. Now, with this amazing life, and I have an overhead on perceive, so I looked this thing up. So the original Greek, well, this is what this word means. With this amazing life, God reveals himself. He reveals himself to his people. He's revealing himself all the time to his people because we're children of God. He's revealing himself. The word perceive here means is to know thoroughly. So Jesus looked at these folks and he knew thoroughly what was going on. Or to recognize a thing to be what it really is, to acknowledge. I say, oh, that's cool. Jesus, good, man. And you're going, I don't believe a thing you're doing. And I think you're committing blasphemy. He knew thoroughly what they were thinking. See, that was perception. That was the perceiving that Jesus demonstrated. But I challenge you that we do have Christ in us, and is connected with sharing the things of God and in standing in for God. We will perceive what we need to do to share that message, because the Holy Spirit wants us to share that message, and he will give us perception to see, perceive from the Holy Spirit, and it will come to our mind. Amen? Now, just here, let us look here at this amazing life, and we have other passages where God shows that he has given Holy Spirit gifts to his people. He's given Holy Spirit gifts, so he's given it so we can function in this life, that he can function through us in this life. Amen? So, in this amazing life, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to help us confirm this message. Now look at this. I just did a couple of verses here. I didn't do the whole section. But look at 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. Now, let's apply it to Jesus, because we know he's got this 100% as God, all right? We'll apply this to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 8. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one, through the Spirit, the word of wisdom, what to do. To another, the word of knowledge, to know stuff you didn't know, according to the same Spirit. What did Jesus do? He just did that. That's what he did. He just did that. Okay, so we're going to give. Yeah, Jesus can do that. Amen. We love Jesus. We're on Jesus' team. So we're going, amen? But here's the other side of that. The Holy Spirit's indwelling us. And this scripture isn't addressing Jesus. It's addressing us. Now, look at this. To each is given. Who in here is an each? You're all an each. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You're an each, all right? You're a picked out person, all right? So he didn't leave anybody out. You accepted Christ, and you get this. Now, Satan's trying to, you ain't got nothing. The world's saying you don't have anything. And it's trying to press you down that you won't step out in who we are. See, but God said, no, to each is given what? A manifestation I always like to look up words like that just to see what they mean. It is a manifestation. What's a manifestation? You know, it's a making known. It's a making known. So each one is given a making known of the Spirit. How is the Spirit going to be made known? Through us, making it known, working through us. See? So here we have, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Going to help everybody out here. For to one, through this Spirit, making it known, is a word of wisdom. I don't know what to do. I have a clue what to do. What do we do next? Wisdom is what to do next. God, through the Holy Spirit, speak to me. I don't know what to do next. And especially communicating his word, he's going to tell you what to do next. The world is going to shut your mouth. Don't say anything. How many? I've said this before. It drives me nuts. In the political arena, I have a spiritual belief, but it's personal. It's myself, and I don't share it. Oh, Satan has got his lick on you. Because Satan, the one thing, he can't do anything to you, so he wants you to shut up. Then he's good. I mean, it's the biggest lie in the world. No, your faith is to be shared, the manifestation of the Spirit in power. And you'll know what to do. And in word of knowledge, he'll tell you things that you wouldn't otherwise know. There it is. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, that is clearly to believers. And I'll put it like this. He's telling us, act like Jesus. Something I always get a kick out of, and we talked about this before. I said, well, act like Jesus. Well, I got to be good and don't do anything wrong. Try that for a while. How's it working for you? See, because that's not what he's saying. He wants us to be good, but he wants to step out in power. You see what I'm saying? That's how Jesus behaved. He did what the Holy Spirit did, told him to, in power. And that's what he wants believers to do, to act in power. See? That makes us have an amazing life. Jesus makes us have an amazing life. So, hear what God is telling us. And to each one of us, he's given the manifestation of the Spirit. By definition, he didn't skip over anyone. Not anyone. Now, so Jesus, he lets everything out right here. So you got this, all the religious leaders in Israel. And so Jesus does this. So we need to understand. Well, first, we need to understand that as with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will give us divine perception or a word from God. So when we're dealing and sharing the gospel, when we're in a tough situation, God will give us, through the Holy Spirit, divine perception. Now, somebody says, well, that's what 1 Corinthians 12 said. That's what Jesus did. That's what 1 Corinthians said, 12 for us. So God, so as with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will give us a divine perception or to declare the message. He's going to tell us what to do. Holy Spirit. So I said, we're gaining confidence. In us? No, in the Holy Spirit. We're gaining some confidence. We're learning to depend on him. He's going to speak to us. He's going to show us. Now, and so he tells Jesus, this is what he tells them, okay? So they have all the questions. So he knows exactly what to say to these folks. Luke 5:23. He goes, okay, guys. All the pastors, theologians, and Pharisees and lawgivers. Okay, guys, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk. Now, that really cuts through a lot of theological discussion. I mean, it really does, okay? It's like, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to rise and walk? And they're going, man, if you say rise and walk, that's big, because this guy's got to get up. So, I mean, he locks in on that, what will tear down their erroneous theological view. So which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? So like Jesus, we want to see that he told him what to do. He's going to tell us what to do. In this amazing life, we move with the power of God. I mean, why do we have the power of God? To move in the power of God is God shows us what to do. Now, so he says, now Jesus says this. Okay, so this is what God told him, says, which is easier to say, sins are forgiven, rise and walk. So then he goes in Luke 5:24, this way says to the group. But that you may know, look it over, but that you may know, why is he doing this? This is huge. This is huge in this whole section for me, right here in 5:24. But that what? What? You may know. Got a lot of questions, okay? But that you may know. God is going to do something through the Holy Spirit, through Christ, God presence. God says, I'm going to show you something. I'm not going to argue any theology on you, but I'm going to do something so you may know. Gave him something so that you may know that the Son has authority on earth to forgive sins. They didn't believe that. Now we're going to say, I believe that now here, you know, 21st century. They didn't believe it. But he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, he said to the man that was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose up and picked up his bed and went home. And guess what? They're going, whoa. Now, why did he do this? Like, okay, now bring everybody here and I can heal everybody. Okay, that's what they did. But why did he do that? Why did he heal that? He already said, your sins are forgiven. He could have said, your sins are forgiven. You have a home in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's good enough. And a lot of people, that's as far as it gets. Because in eternity, we know that. But he looked around. He goes, wait a minute. I perceive nobody. They don't believe that sins can be forgiven. He perceived through the Holy Spirit. He saw. He understood. He says, well, this is what needs to be done to communicate these folks that I have authority and power. So God, through the Holy Spirit, told him, which is easier to say, sins are forgiven, get up and walk. He said, just so that you may believe. That's the whole purpose. That is the whole purpose. So that you may believe. Now, we believe that Jesus did it back then. We say, hallelujah. And we know he can do it in the future. But he's saying here that he's making the point that you may know that the Son of Man can forgive sins, pick up your bed, and go home. And that's what happened. But it's so that they would know. I believe that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will give us perception to know what's going on, to know what to say, to share the message in power so they may know. When we step into a place, we bring the power of the presence of Christ. That's the reason we won't listen to these folks around and say, don't share anything. Satan wins. You want to share Jesus. You want to perceive what's going on. You want to step out and speak what's going on. You know, maybe it's speak. What's this? Rise up. If he tells you to do that, that's what you ought to do. Or maybe we should just quote this scripture. Okay, look, read this. This is what Jesus did. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do to show that you have authority to forgive sins? I perceive through the Holy Spirit. Now through the Holy Spirit, tell me what I specifically need to do, and I believe that God will tell us specifically what to do. It's an amazing life. Now, let's go back to the first century disciples. Okay, first century. So all they had was faith in Christ. Okay, so this is after the resurrection, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're there, and they've given their whole life to him. All they have is Jesus and the Word and the message, okay? So you're at the very beginning. We're in Acts chapter 4. They have nothing but the message. Jesus is in heaven. How do these folks act? I believe how these folks acted, we're supposed to act the same way. Everything around us goes to tell us, don't do that. Even religion, some of your theologians and everything else will tell you, don't act this way, okay? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, act this way. Look what the first disciples did, okay? We know what Jesus did, and we see that in perfection. But what are we supposed to do now with God in us. Look at this. I have an overhead. Acts 4, 29 through 30. This is to us, folks. With this amazing life, we pray that we may operate in the Spirit, in spiritual power, okay? We pray that we may operate in the Spirit, in spiritual power. We have more than a message. We have the spiritual power to operate in that spiritual power to give that message. Listen to this. The first disciples, nothing has changed. Acts 4:29. And now, they're praying. They're praying. Because they've just, you know, they've been put in jail, kicked out, told not to say the word. By the way, these guys were told, don't say the word anymore. And they're being persecuted. And now, and here's their prayer. And now, Lord, this is a prayer. And now, Lord, look on their threats. See what they're saying? Look on their threats. Look on their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with all boldness. Don't you say anything. It's your faith is personal. Don't say, no, it's not. Look at their threats, and you continue to speak the word with boldness. The more they tell you to hush, the louder you get about Jesus. We get loud about a lot of stuff, but he's saying get loud about Jesus, and Jesus will take care of all the other stuff. See? So look, Lord, upon their threats and grant to your servants. Who's a servant of Jesus? If you accepted Christ as your Savior, look on your servants and continue, give us the strength, because they're telling us not to say anything, give us the strength to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Here's the prayer, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Same thing. Just like Jesus did. They're saying, we want to speak your word. And what we're going to do, give us strength to speak your word. And then, Lord, we want supernatural power. We want evidence. We want power from on high to confirm your word. What did Jesus say? So that you may know. Get up and walk. What do you do? So that here you're going to see some power. So you may know. Get more. What's saying here? We won't be stuck. Jesus, we want to share your word. And so that you may know, Lord, you tell us what to do. You stretch out your hand to heal. Signs and wonders are performed. What does he tell you to do? And this is not a cookie cutter thing to do. This is an attitude to pray to the Lord and perceive, see what's going on through the Spirit, and then through the Spirit hear from God, step out in it, and see God do what God does. And when we show up, God shows up, and God does powerful things. He just wants us in tune to hear what he says, to perceive. And we say, God, stretch out your hand, tell me what you're doing. I'm just going to stand here and carry the message. And that's what he's saying, have enough guts to carry the message and stand on it. I think this is the same thing. I think Acts 4, 29, 30 is the same thing as Luke 5. Jesus says, so that you may know, get up and walk. Disciples said, give us boldness. And so they may know, stretch out your hand in power. We are a spiritual dynamo, if you want to, when we show up. We really are. And God is just trying to tell us that we are. We are. He's just trying to tell us we are. You ever get your kids, you know, you're trying to tell them, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you can be? Don't you? That's what you're doing. God is looking at us. He says, don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you can be? That's what he's doing. He's doing the same thing to us. Now, I had here, when you see this, we need to understand with this amazing life, we have the capacity to daily live out an extraordinary life. We have the capacity to live an extraordinary life that is totally inconsistent with the world around us. Totally inconsistent. I have to put this up, Luke 5:26. I mean, this is where they let us look at this whole thing. They go, you know, we've seen extraordinary things today. I don't have a clue what's going on, but we have seen extraordinary things going on. I mean, I've got a lot of questions, but we have seen extraordinary things going on. Now, I'm on, and this is a little convicting. This is convicting to me. Is anything amazing or extraordinary happening in our life? You know, are we the dullest people on the block? I mean, is anything extraordinary or amazing happening in our life? I mean, not that we're too extraordinary, but we have Christ in us. He's extraordinary. If Jesus, and imagine, his personal form, incarnation, he walked in here, just walked in. Do you think that would be, man, that's amazing. Wouldn't that be like, whoa. See, he just walked in. We have Christ in us. We walk in. Satan is going, whoa. You know, they're backing out. It's like things are spiritually happening because of Christ in us. And we need to understand that. Now, and here's kingdom reality. Kingdom reality. Each of us need to grasp it. Say you have an intelligent, and I'm just grasping in straws here, an intelligent president of a large corporation. Just, can you imagine? He has zero spiritual power. But he's rich. A lot of things happening. Then you have an uneducated, we'll say, lady that cleans in that corporation. No money. Not particularly much of an education. And she has supernatural spiritual power with words of knowledge and healing power. It's like, who you want to talk to? Who do you want to talk to? It's like, man, show me that lady with the mop. I mean, because things happen when she shows up. This guy in the corporate, he wants me to do something or wants my money. This woman, things are happening. See, the least in the world's eyes are mighty in God's eyes. You may be the least in the world's eyes. However, the weakest, mildest, most unfortunate person who loves Jesus can hear through the Holy Spirit, lay hands on someone, and see that person's life changed. We need to be that spiritual person. We need to be that person. See, that it's because of Christ in us. We just need to be that. You step out in it. And I just use this as an analogy, as a comparison to the president, to the lady with the mop, is that if we understood the spiritual power and what God was saying, we're going to beat the down the door to the lady with the mop. Who you want? Because things are happening with her. Power is happening through her. And so, but even more than that, we need to be that person. I don't care what walk of life. We need to be that person like God is in us. And so he's working powerfully through us. I was, Drew and friend over there, we had lunch with them a while back. And they were sharing some of the things that went on at the Dove International Missions training and just how they worked with the kids and to hear from the Lord and get a prophetic word. And just kids working with them, you know, young adults, and then going out to share the word and just being perceptive. It's cool. I mean, it really was what they're doing. And then Fran astutely said, we should be training our people to do that here. We don't have to go to Reading, Pennsylvania to experience God. What if I say, I'm going to snap here. You want to experience God? Go to Reading, Pennsylvania. Yeah. You could do better than that. You know? But that's what happened in Reading, Pennsylvania. But if it happened in Reading, Pennsylvania, it ought to happen here. It's here, see? Because Christ is here. See, the amazing life, brothers and sisters, is we don't have to go to Reading, Pennsylvania. And I'm being a little facetious, but not much. And we don't have to have more programs to experience the Holy Spirit. We need to perceive through the Holy Spirit and move in the power of God like the very first disciples did. That's what we're supposed to do. Look what John and Peter, I love this thing, John and Peter. Guy's begging, wants money. They're walking along. This is Acts 3, just before Acts 4, where they were praying together. Says, we'll see stretch out your hands. See, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do. We have Christ in us, the power in us. We can perceive what's going on. We're praying that God would stretch out his hand. And so you got this guy, I want some money. And Peter goes, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, get up and walk. That sounds like Jesus. Sounds just like Jesus. See? What we want is he put out his pup, we throw him a quarter. You know, he let the paralytic down here to throw him a quarter. No, get up and walk. Now, maybe God's not telling us to get up. If he says get up, I'm saying getting up and walk, if that's what he said. But I know that the power is present, that I can perceive something, that God will show me something, and I'm going to speak forth that truth. I'm going to lay hands and pray for that person. I'm going to ask God to move in a powerful way. Why? Because that's who I am in Christ. But who you are in Christ. It's who every single believer in Christ. It's that lady with the mop in that corporation in Christ. This just came to mind. We're going over a little bit. I'm going to tell you this story. To me, it's fascinating. I will take it from the Lord as he brought it up, because I hadn't thought about this in years. We went, and this is 30 years ago, and this is when the AIDS thing broke out, and nobody knew really what was going on. And so I was witnessing to this guy in the hospital over in Reston, Virginia. And so I was witnessing. He's in a terrible situation. I'd pray for him. And so the guy came in, and he was the janitor, and he had the whole thing, mop stuff pushed in. So he's just pushing up, cleaning stuff. And he came beside him, saw me. I was praying for this guy. And he had real broken English. And so he's talking, oh, you're praying, you love Jesus. I love Jesus, you know. He says, God, I love Jesus, you know. And he says, how'd you come to know Jesus? I shared his testimony. And he says, how'd you come to know Jesus? And he shared a testimony, and I'm going, whoa. I mean, it's like he met Jesus, and Jesus, it's like, whoa. That's kind of it was really incredible testimony. I says, really? He said, yeah. I says, he goes, and I asked him where he's from. He told him. And I says, how long you been working here? And he told me how long. He says, no, when I came here, I had this other job. He's like a mechanic or something. He's like, oh, what are you doing here? That's a big shift. And he says, well, God told me that this hospital has two wings full of AIDS patients in Western Virginia. I didn't know it. I don't think anybody else knew it. Did not know it. I said, really? He says, yeah, they have 8 patients. They won't let anybody in there because they don't know what to do. So they're like quarantined, and as they're trying to study what's going on. God told me that these people with AIDS need to hear the gospel, and I need to get a job at the hospital cleaning so they'll let me in to clean their rooms and stuff. I can share Christ with them. I'm going, oh. See, he perceived. You know, he heard from God, and then God told him what to do, and he went in. He shared Christ with him. It's like, it's the most amazing thing I ever heard. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. That shouldn't be unusual. That should be natural for every one of us. Where do you start? I love this one. You know what I'm going to say. Where you are. Oh, I'm going to go here. No, do it here. That's where you are. When God moves you, then you do it there. But you do it where you are. Like, when Drew and Frank go to Reading, Pennsylvania, I'm not going. All right? Hallelujah. And they can be, I'm staying here. Unless God tells me to go with them to Reading. You know, they've learned a lot there, and that's been a good experience. But it's no. He's saying, you do what you do here. They got their folks in Reading. You do. Now, if the Lord says, I perceive, then I will go with them. But you start where you are, and then you perceive what comes after that. You see what I'm saying? But everybody's supposed to do it. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. Power of Christ, based on what he tells me. And when I step in something, I know by definition Christ is there. It's a spiritual dynamic that takes place. Because I bring Jesus in the situation. You bring Jesus into the situation. And everybody that is influenced by Satan will say, shh, don't talk. Don't talk. Because if you do talk, it's power. And they can't handle it. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. With this amazing life, we move in the power of God to declare an amazing message. We got to remember the message. John 3:16. They ain't no other message. Now, we like to talk about all that stuff, but this is the message that those without Christ need. What do you think that guy, when he was cleaning out the AIDS section, what are you thinking? He's telling everybody, remember, you need to memorize the books of the Bible, you know, or something. Let's study the inspiration. No, this is what he's sharing. This is what he's sharing. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. What a good message to someone who is terminally ill with AIDS. You have eternal life. Shared with them. Amen? It's powerful. We have an amazing life. We have, God says, live. He says, gosh, man, this is amazing. And we step in with that confidence. God's moving. Amen? I think we should sing a praise or something to Jesus about this. Praise God. The team's coming for. I've just got a note here. Sometimes we have, I don't think we will this week because all our folks are out in different places vacationing, but we have a prophetic team to come forward. And this is one place with our prophetic team where we experience the Holy Spirit through a prophetic word and through the prophetic team. And through their prophetic gift, you have an opportunity to hear from the Holy Spirit something that change your current situation or impact the future. So they have that's an avenue to see the Spirit move through the prophetic, one of the ways. And so we really appreciate our prophetic team, encourage you when they're here to take advantage of it, because they're hearing from God, their gift, prophetic word that God wants to encourage you with. See, encourage with. People ask me, says, you go down and give them requests. No, it's a prophetic ministry. If you want to pray, come with me, I'll pray with you. Okay, they'll pray with you too. But you're saying, hey, I just want to go before the Lord and just go before and just see what's going on here. Is anything's coming to mind? And then they'll pray for the Lord, just give them an insight. And then they will pray what God is showing them without you giving them a request. You see what I'm saying? But it's a spiritual gift. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Just doing what the book says. Amen? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. And we thank you for your word. Lord, I just feel like there's somebody here that's just really touching them. Say, yeah, I have an amazing life. You know, somebody's trying to tell me it's not amazing. No, it is an amazing life. All things are working together for good. And he's leading me just to the place I need to be. And it's going to be supernatural power awaiting and an opportunity to share that through the power of God. We thank you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.